We are in a series entitled Forgotten God. My name is Lance. Welcome to Bethel. If you want to turn your Bibles or your phones to Romans chapter 8, this series is really focusing on the third person of the Trinity, who is the Holy Spirit. You know, many times, a lot of us, we understand the term God the Father, God the Son, but when it comes to God the Holy Spirit, oftentimes we're confused, or maybe we never even have heard really a teaching about the Holy Spirit. And what we're focused on is really how you and I can have real friendship with the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 26, he says, "Likewise, the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "helps us in our weakness." That's important because a lot of us, we have times of weakness. "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes," that means stands with us, "for with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit," again, intercedes or stands with the saints, those who are given, those who have given their life to Jesus, "according to the will of God." Now, if you're like me, you probably have things in your home that you love or that you really like. For me, it's my wife and I's recliner. We have a couch, Demetrius, that actually both sides of the couch recline. And we spend a lot of time, praise God, in the recliner. Now, we've had the recliner for a while now. And so what's beginning to happen, because I probably spend too much time in the recliner, is the thing is beginning to lean towards one side. So much so that my wife, Deanna, she's telling me, she's like, "Lance, you need to sit somewhere else, or you need to come over here and sit where I sit, so we can stop this thing from leaning so much." But the thing about this recliner is, even though I love it so much, and sometimes tell it how much I love it, the fact of the matter is, it does not tell me how much it loves me. Why is that? Because it is an object, or it is an it. And as human beings, we cannot have a personal relationship with an object. If you do, I need to help you. Come and get prayer at the end of service. Or something that isn't it. Now, a lot of us, though, what happens is when it comes to the Holy Spirit, this mindset we carry into our relationship with the Holy Spirit. People say, "You know the Holy Spirit. It is like a fire." Or it is like a voice that speaks to us. See, we refer to him as an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an object. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. The Holy Spirit, biblically speaking, is actually a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, called God the Holy Spirit. It's important for you and I to see him as a person, because if we don't, then we're going to struggle developing a relationship with him. This is one of the reasons why we struggle. Another reason is because of his name, Holy Spirit. Oftentimes we think of the word spirit, we don't think about something that wants to bless us. We think about something that wants to harm us. I told you last week, I don't watch scary movies. Because why? Scary movies have spirits in them that want to harm me. I don't want that in my life. I'm trying to get fear out, not try to put it in. So I stay away from scary movies. But so we carry this sense in us that spirit means spooky. It means weird. But clearly from Scripture, what we see is the Holy Spirit is not weird, and he's not spooky. Now, sometimes I ask God, "I wish you would have consulted me on some things before you did them." For instance, this right here. Why did you not refer to the third person of the Trinity as Bill, not Holy Spirit? Because as a person, as a human being, I understand the name Bill. That would help me develop a relationship with him. But see, we often get confused because actually the Holy Spirit is not a name. The Holy Spirit is a role. God is his name. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, that's his role in our lives as God the Holy Spirit, is to operate in our lives as the Spirit of God. And what we see from the Bible is that Jesus, the one we all trust, because hopefully you're here today and you've given your life over to him. If not, it's a wise thing to do. We trust Jesus. And Jesus is the one who introduces us to the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. And what did he call him? He called him what? Our helper. He calls him our comforter, our counselor. He says he's the one who guides us into all truth. See, he is a person with a personality. The Holy Spirit has thoughts. Did you ever think about that? He makes decisions. He has feelings. We can actually grieve the Holy Spirit. We see this in Scripture that God, the Holy Spirit, has a mind. He has a will. He has emotions. And as believers, this means that we have something living in us that has the mind of God. This is great. That knows the thoughts of God, the will of God, the feelings of God. And he wants to guide you and I as the one who does that into God's feelings, God's thoughts, God's will for our life. So having this knowledge that someone lives in me and wants to help me think God's thoughts, desire what he desires, feel what he feels, man, it makes me thank God for that. This Holy Spirit, this third person lives on the inside of me. You know, when you study this Trinitarian God that we serve, you actually see there's many attributes when it comes to God. And there's actually three attributes that I want to pull out this afternoon, to help us understand that these attributes that we're going to talk about today, actually, the Holy Spirit possesses them. Because again, why? He's three, but yet one. And so these attributes, we, as followers of Christ, can actually take advantage or take hold of these attributes and see them activated in our life. And the first one is this: God the Holy Spirit is omniscient. O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-T, omniscient. That means he's all-knowing, that he has a mind, and he knows everything. See, here's a wonderful thought. Actually, I think it's a very comforting thought, that God the Holy Spirit is all-knowing. That means he's incapable of thinking something he has never thought of before. God the Holy Spirit has never hit himself on the head and say, oh, you know what, I just thought of something. He's never done that before. A thought has never occurred to God that he hasn't thought of before. It never has happened. He knows everything all at once. Now, with that in mind, let's apply that to our life. We know that God is a good God. We know his thoughts towards us are good, not of evil, not harm, but are good to bless us. And we know the Holy Spirit is God. So his thoughts towards us are to bless us, is to lead us into good things. So if God's plan is to lead us and guide us by his Spirit into what is good, don't you think that what you're walking through today, whether you're going through a painful situation, whether you're going through something that's very difficult for you, don't you think because God guides us, he's also going to guide you out of whatever you're in today? Because he knows what's going on. He knows how to direct you. Hey, you need to do this. Hey, you need to make this decision. Hey, don't do that. Hey, get connected to these people. Hey, stay away. See, he guides us. He leads us. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. So it's very wise for you and I. See, this is why it's wise for us to grow in our relationship with him. Now, just because he comes to live in us doesn't mean now we become all-knowing. Let's make sure we understand that. That would make you weird if you think you know everything. You don't want to be weird. There's enough weird people. We don't need more weird Christians. But what it does mean is this, that the Holy Spirit who knows all, he's my teacher. And he has made a promise to me to guide me into all truth. He's my helper. He's the Spirit of truth. This is what Romans 8 is talking about. He says in 26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. A lot of us may be in a weak place. Lean into the Holy Spirit. He's your friend. He's your helper. It says he intercedes for us. It means he's standing with us. And I love what he says. He says, according to. Now, that word according is a musical term. It means to be in harmony with. He says, according to what? The will of God for our life. See, God is three but yet one. The Holy Spirit understands God's will for our life. He's in harmony with God's will for our life. So naturally, his role is to direct us into God's will for our life. Man, that's good. But he's not just omniscient. Guess what? He's also omnipresent. Now, this is one of my favorite attributes of God, my favorite, because it blows my mind every time I think about this. Omnipresent simply means that God is everywhere at the exact same time. Now, he's not just everywhere. All of his thoughts, all of his emotions, all of his attention, now get this, is everywhere at the exact same time. That means when I stand here today, or you, whether you're praying, driving your car, whatever, you're talking to God, you have all his attention, all of his mind, all of his feelings are focused on you right then. At the exact same time, some brother over in China is doing the same thing you're doing, and guess what? He's getting all of God's attention. This is how big God is. This is how awesome he is. This is how magnificent that he is. All of his attention, all of his time, all of his feelings are focused on that brother in China and me standing right here on 1885 Tiny Town Road. I don't just get part of God. It's mind-blowing. I don't just get part of him. I get every bit of him. He can be here and all of here exactly at the same time. That's how great he is. He's omnipresent. See, he transcends space and time. He's not just everywhere at the same time, but he's every when, W-H-E-N, at the same time. He is in our past, our present, and our future all at the same time. Now, that can be scary because you think about your past. If you're like me, I have a past. You got a past. You're like, oh, God, I don't want you in my past. Please get out of there. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus forgives us of our past, so we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to feel guilty. We don't have to feel be condemned. We stand today forgiven if we've believed in Christ. If you have not, today's the day for you to trust in Jesus. Your past cannot just be forgiven. The Bible actually says that God erases it. But he also is in our present. But so much, you know what? But he's in our future as well. See, this omnipresent, all-powerful God, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, but he's omnipresent. See, he doesn't just know what could be. He knows what will be for our lives. Oh, my gosh. I can fathom what could be, but I have no clue what will be. There is a big difference, friend, in what could be and what will be. God knows, God the Holy Spirit knows what will be. And he wants to direct you today into what will be. There are dangers that he wants to keep us from. He don't want us to go on a detour. He wants to go on a straight line into what will be because he has the best plan for you and I. Sometimes we don't understand this though. God, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why is this not happening? Lord, I thought you were going to do it this way. It's because it's not what will be. It's what you think could be or will be. But he knows exactly what will be, and he's directing us. You know, before I gave my life to Christ, I was actually dating a girl, Pastor Ron, that I thought was going to be my wife. I was for sure, Miss Kathy, this is the one. She is it. And I'm not right with God at the time. So I had these plans. I'm going to get engaged to this girl. I'm going to marry this girl. A couple months go by, and she breaks up with me. Broke my heart. I hate to sound weak, men, up here today, but I was broken. I was thinking, man, what is she thinking, man? I'm Lance Phillips. What is she doing? Does she know who I am? So I'm going through this pain and suffering, wondering what the world's going on. Again, I'm not serving God. Guy invites me to a Bible study. It's a Bible study. I meet this guy, he was actually a pastor, Franco Gennaro, and actually Pastor Franco. He said, Lance, I want you to come to my house. We're having this meeting. You can come. You come. So I showed up at his house. Now, I didn't realize it, but found out years later, it was actually a church leadership meeting that I was sitting in. So here I am, this unsaved college student. I'm in a church leadership meeting. And sure enough, he would not let me sit in the back row. He sent me right in the front row. And he had this guy there that night by the name of John Rohr, Pastor John. Now, Pastor Richard's going to talk more about this in 2 weeks, how there are gifts, the gifts of the Spirit that we receive. These are biblical things. Again, some of us are not taught these things. We don't understand them, but they're the gifts of the Spirit. And this man possessed what's called the gift of prophecy, or the words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Be able to can tell you something that you're going through without him, like you never told him before. But because God knows, God reveals things to him, and he brings it as an encouraging word to you. So here I am, this unsaved person, sitting in this church leadership meeting, and this guy calls me out of the crowd. And he brings me up front. And the first words out of his mouth, he says, "Son," he says, "you have been in a relationship. And that relationship has hurt you. And because of that, you've lost your confidence." My mouth hit the floor. I was like, I'm thinking to myself, how in the world does this God know this? I'd never been around something like this before. You've been in a relationship, and that relationship has hurt you, and you've lost your confidence. He said, though, today, tonight, God's going to restore your confidence. He said, I want you to reach down on the floor. And so I literally begin to reach down on the floor. He said, I want you to grab your confidence. I reached down. I said, I grab my confidence. He said, I want you to tell the devil you got. I said, devil, I got my confidence back. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what's going on here, but this is great. Fire is rising on the inside of me. And he said this. He said, Lance, he said, you know what? He said, I see God burying this relationship. Because me inside, I'm thinking, man, God's getting a hold of me. He loves me. I'm his now. Sure enough, God's just going to help me get where I want to go, and I want her. So, man, God's going to allow me to get back into a relationship with her. Even though it's immoral and ungodly, you don't care anymore, Lord. Man, it's great. I want it back, so you're going to give it to me. This is the thoughts running through my head. He says, no. He said, Lance, I see God burying this relationship. He looked at me, and he said, you know what? Now, you can take your shovel and go dig it up if you want, but God is burying it. See, today, could be for some of you guys, this could be for you. There could be something in your life. Now listen, don't be sitting up here thinking it's your marriage. It's not. Again, this was an ungodly, unholy boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. We were not married. So I'm not talking. If you're married, you fight for your marriage. If it's dead, go get a shovel, dig it up. All right? You fight for it. This is the ungodly relationship we're talking about here. You know what? I could have got my shovel and went and dug it up. See, a lot of times we're wondering, why can't I hear you? It's because for some, we stiff-arm the Holy Spirit's voice on one side, but then we turn over here and we expect him to speak to us on this side. If you're resisting what he's saying, I could have easily got my shovel, went over and said, God, I don't care. You're omniscient. I don't care if you know everything. I don't care if you're ever present. I know best. I'm going to go dig this up and try this again. God was saying, no, don't do that. It would have been sin for me to do that. See, what's interesting about that story is this. There was someone else sitting in the crowd that day or that night. You know who it was? A girl named Deanna Moore, who would become Deanna Phillips. She was sitting there that night. See, again, God knew my future. He knew who I was supposed to be tied to in a covenant relationship to change the world with. And it wasn't that old girl. It was this new girl. It was her. But I could have messed it all up by not listening to the voice, not listening to his voice. God's speaking to some of you today. Maybe there's something that he's buried that you need to just let it go, let it die. I talked about this before. You bring things to the cross. The cross is a place of death. Now, a lot of us struggle. We go pick it up, carry it back, pick it up, carry it back. It's time just to let it go and say, Lord, if this job is not it, if this dream in my heart, a lot of times it's a dream in your heart. Lord, if this dream in my heart is not it, God, I'm going to let it die. Because you know what will be, not what could be. You're omnipresent. You know what will be. See, Psalm 139, he talks about this. He talks about, King David says, he says, where can I go? Listen to this, verse 7, he says, where shall I go from your spirit? He's everywhere. Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, Sheol, that's hell, you are there. He's everywhere. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. can't run from God, so stop trying. Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, feeling overwhelmed, and the light about me be night. Listen to this. Even the darkness is not dark to you. My lands. Even the darkness is not dark to God. Your dark moment, God has a way out. The night is bright as the day. Guys, this is why we can trust Him. For darkness is a light with you. Listen, stop trying and start trusting. Some of you are trying so hard to make things happen. Just let your hands off of it. I'm telling you, this is, I did not see this in any other service. This is not in my notes. Let go and let God. I know that sounds corny, but that is so true. Get your hands out of it. Say, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm trusting you. You're omniscient. Lord, you're omnipresent. Lord, you're with me. You've shown that by the Spirit as a guarantee, the Word of God says, that He's with us. You have a guarantee. Is God with me? Yes, He's with you. Because the Holy Spirit, this omnipresent God, lives on the inside of you. Lord, thank you. This is so comforting. He's everywhere that I go. He's in the office. If you're a businessman or woman, He's at the home. If you're a soldier, bullets flying by your head, you're in war. He's there. He's everywhere. See, a lot of times we feel lonely. Even if you're married, we feel there's often times, single, married, doesn't matter, we feel lonely. But the great promise of the Word is even though you may feel lonely, guess what? You're not alone. You are never alone because He's omnipresent. He's with you everywhere that you go. But you know what also? He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Ephesians 3:20 says that God does exceedingly abundantly. I love that He put those two words together. What's He trying to do? Get our attention. Telling us, I can do more than what you think of, ask for. He says that I do exceedingly abundantly above, there's another word, all that we can ever ask or imagine. But we often miss this next little line. According to, there's our word again, that musical term, in harmony with the power that works within us. Whew. That means that this omnipotent God, the Holy Spirit, His power is working within us. It's working within us to change us, to bring us into God's best for our life. See, when it comes to God's will for our life, there's actually two different realms to God's will. There's His general will, and there's His specific will. If we're ever wondering about what God's general will is, it's right here. It's found right here. I don't have to wonder, should I commit adultery on my wife? It's very clear. Do not commit adultery. It's His general will. I don't need to wonder, is stealing right or wrong? It's wrong. It's His general will. I don't have to wonder what immorality is. It's right here. The government may be confused about what immorality is. Our world may be confused. You in here may be confused. God's not confused. It is clear right here. It's clear what marriage is between one man and one woman. It's clear how we are made in the image of God, male and female. Help us, Lord. It is clear what bathroom to use right here. Oh, Lord, help us. It's clear. You wonder what bathroom to use, just come tell me. I'll lead you right here and tell you where to go. It's very clear. God's general will is right here. We don't have to guess. Now, if I'm obedient to His general will, now I get the opportunity by the Holy Spirit to be moved into His specific will. See, He has a specific will for every single one of us today. John chapter 16, He tells us this. He says, I still have many things. Now, this is Jesus. We know it's Jesus because it's written in red. He said, I still have many things to say to you. He's talking to His disciples. He knew, I can't tell these guys everything because if I do, I'm going to scare them to death. They can't hold it. So what does He do? But you cannot bear them now. He says, when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, what will He do? He will guide you. Oh, this is so comforting. He will guide you into all the truth. for he will not speak on his own authority. Remember, God the Father, God the Son, they're all the same. But whatever he hears, what does he do? He speaks, he talks to us. And he will declare to you the things that are to come, our future, what will be. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he, the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine and declare it to you. Guys, listen. God is not trying to hide things from you. He's not trying to keep you in the dark. It's clear Jesus wants us to hear him. He's our good shepherd. We're his sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He wants to speak to us. But the question is today, are we asking him, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, I want to hear what you're saying. Come on up, Nate. God, I want to hear you today. See, many of us today, we're looking for direction. Do you know God wants to direct you? He takes what is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He takes what is theirs, and he gives it to you and I to lead us into as the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God into what God's will is for our life. Now, we got to do it by faith, but his voice, it directs us. You know, there's a man that came down front one Sunday, and he looked at me, and he asked me, he said, Pastor Lance, he said, I want to know what God's saying to me. And I looked at him, I said, look, I can go pray for you, or I can pray for you, but I can't hear exactly what God's saying to you. You have to hear what he's saying to you. It's kind of like husbands coming to me and saying, hey, what do I do about my wife? I'm thinking, I don't know. She's your wife. Ask her. See, a lot of times we want somebody else to do the hard work, the homework for us. We have to go home and realize this Trinitarian God wants to talk to us by his Spirit. I went home that day, though, and that next morning, my prayer time, I actually said, God, listen, this guy wants me to hear. What are you saying to him? I said, God, it kind of sounded weird, but what are you telling this brother? He said, tell him I want to talk to him. See, hearing me, I can encourage you, but just a little. What I got to say sometimes is not enough. Sometimes what your friend has to say is just not enough. Your spouse, your boyfriend, girl, it's just not enough. But he is enough. And you begin to hear his voice, let me tell you something, baby, you'll run through a wall. It doesn't matter what it is. You're going to know I can make it because my God is speaking to me and he is with me. God wants to talk to us today. Let's stand to our feet. Let's bow our heads. Lord, here we are. Let's just present ourselves to the Lord. Just as if you feel comfortable, lift your hands and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, we see biblically when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we have to ask and we receive. So right now, God, we ask. Holy Spirit, open up our ears. Give us ears to hear. We just pray this simple prayer. Give us ears to hear, Lord, your direction for our life. Lord, I can't hear it for them. Their friends can't, but Lord, you want to tell us, each of us today, what is that? But we're looking to you. What do you need? What do you want us to do, sir? Lord, we realize you're omniscient. You're omnipresent. You're with us. You're all-knowing. You're with us, and you're omnipotent. You're all-powerful. We thank you that that power works within us today. We just simply acknowledge you, Holy Spirit, and we say, we give you access to our life. Thank you that you're directing us like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap as Vince comes.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Bethel family. If you need prayer or you just need someone to talk to, we are going to have our prayer team down front. We want to stand with you. We want to fight with you. We want to walk life out with you, to be a part of your journey. And so if you need prayer, we are going to be down front. You can now dismiss. Please don't forget about the yard sale. It's going to be this upcoming Saturday from 7 to 2. Thank you so much.